This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Hey, good morning to you. Glad you're in here with us on this Friday morning, the ninth day of the month, heading into a Class A weekend, it sounds like. Decent weather, sunshine, get a chance to catch up on all the grass mowing we'll have to do this weekend. Got a little yard work to do.
We need it after. Yesterday was weird, too, where it was rain. Pretty nice out. Yeah. Then all of a sudden I hear it pouring. And then it cleared up. It was just weird.
It's true, but you don't have to worry about that over the course of the weekend. It's going to be beautiful from what we're hearing. Hey, coming up next hour, we've got our Queen of Hearts drawing. We do that every Friday here as the exclusive radio partner for Guns and Hoses. We're thrilled to do that. All year long, they're going to be doing this drawing. It works almost like a 50-50. You buy tickets, you buy a card, and you get assigned a number, and if they draw your card, you win money. And if they draw it and it's the Queen of Hearts, you win half the pot. There's already been one winner early on in all of this, and the pot is building back up again. So we're going to have this week's winner for you coming up in about an hour at about 8:20, and we do that every Friday morning here on the show. Looking forward to that. We'll be talking more about the Pope and what Catholics are saying about this Chicago-born Pope Leo XIV. There was a lot of reaction yesterday, some jokes about whether he was a Cubs or a White Sox fan. Apparently he's a White Sox fan.
He grew up in South Side of Chicago. So I can't speak apparently, but they say that you're more of a White Sox fan if you're from that area. But then why would his dad be a Cardinals fan?
I don't know.
Maybe his dad isn't it grew weird up his here.
Dad was a Cardinals fan. Yeah. He became a Cardinal. But he's still a White Sox fan.
No one's made that connection before.
Stephen Colbert. Stephen Colbert. I don't like the guy very much. He did have a funny one yesterday. He said he's from the South Side of Chicago, and first thing he did was say "Duh prayers" for the Bears. So he had a good time. He was having a good time with it. Not generally a big fan of Colbert, but I got to give him a little bit of credit.
I've already seen pictures of the Pope that were AI, obviously, or photoshopped of him with the big old Chicago style hot dogs or whatever. Is it Portillo's? Is that the name of the popular hot dog place?
Might be. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, there's one in Springfield. I think I ate at one time. So they've got them other than just Chicago, but that is very true. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Jim Carafano, get his take on maybe the trade deal and the tensions going on between India and Pakistan right now and how serious that is, and maybe what it's doing to block that trade deal that rumor had it was close to being announced. So we'll find out what Jimmy thinks about all that. And a little later, we'll talk to Tanya J. Power. She is covering the story of a federal judge blocking the president's ability to stop grants that he feels are either not properly, there's not proper oversight or whatever it happens to be. Some of these include ones for transit. Maybe that's the one in California and homelessness grants around the country. We'll get the latest from Tanya around 7:35. So right now I want to get to this morning's top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I wasn't surprised, not because I didn't think the vice president was the most qualified person to be president. She is. She's qualified to be president of the United States of America. But I was surprised. I wasn't surprised because they went the route of the sexist route.
Yeah, shocker. Joe Biden, who is on the a revitalization tour right now, seems to think Kamala Harris only lost because of either sex or race or both. That may sound familiar.
The people who wrote those books were not in the White House with us, and they didn't see how hard Joe worked every single day.
Yeah, how about that? Joe Biden's like, they weren't there. Does she forget the fact that these are left-wing Democrat journalists who are now writing the truth about the how sad the state of affairs was with the last president of the United States?
Judge Jeanine Pirro, my friend and co-host from The Five, is going to become the new interim U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia.
Yeah, sad. Our friend Ed Martin, I mean, I'm not sad that Jeanine Pirro is getting the job, but Ed Martin should have been the U.S. attorney for D.C. He was doing a great job, and one Republican, Tom Tillis, blew it for him. I don't know why, but now Jeanine Pirro is going to face some of the same questions, I think.
I would say that there is a reckoning that needs to happen, especially when it comes to the leadership of Black women in the Democratic Party and in the progressive movement. They want our votes, but they don't want our leadership.
Oh, a little bit bitter there. Mayor Tish out there doing her own revitalization tour, I guess you could call it, trying to revitalize her image after her 28-point loss to Kara Spencer, which had to be because of race.
So tired of this argument, and it doesn't have any legs to stand on, but yet they still keep trying. I have to wonder if she will try to run for another office at some point. I don't know what that office would be. I mean, if you lost by that much just for mayor of St. Louis City,
yeah.
What other? I mean, she can't run for Congress, I don't think.
Well, she served in the House. I don't know if she termed out or not. I guess she could
run for Congress, though.
She could run for Congress. She could run for state Senate. I don't think she was ever a state senator. I covered her as a reporter when she was a state representative for a number of years. So she might have termed out, unless that was before they changed term limits. I don't know how that gets grandfathered in. So it's not out of the question
because
she could run for something else.
Otherwise, unless you're just trying to do damage control, which I'm sure is part of the reason why she went and talked with NPR, why else would you take the time to go do these interviews? I mean, you want to defend yourself, but maybe you have your eyes on a different office.
Probably because they invited her, I would imagine. She's angry. She's clearly angry that the stupid voters just didn't understand how good they had it when she was mayor. And she kind of expresses that here. You know, they ask her specifically, well, you know, there was a time when it was you and Cori Bush and Kim Gardner, and you were the three musketeers, and you were the strong, liberal, progressive Black women who were going to take us by storm. And 4.5 years later, not a single one of you is still in office. One got thrown out. The other two got voted out.
So how
is that not a reflection of your policy instead of jumping to the racism issue?
But how can she say it's just racism versus going with the women card? Because you have Gabe Gore, who's Black, who took over for Kim Gardner. You have Wesley Bell, who beat out Cori Bush, who's also Black. So I don't think the race card really is very
fitting here. Kim.
That's what she would then have to use. That's
you're
the
sexist
men that they really want.
For saying that. Listen to her. Here we go.
I think St. Louis needs to have a conversation with itself of why it no longer trusts Black women to lead. And I can't answer that for them. But there is, I would say, an unhealthy and unrealistic level of expectations when it comes to Black female leadership, not only in St. Louis, but, you know, when we look across the country. My dad always told me, and then, there, you know, it's an old phrase that Black women have to work twice as hard just to get half as much. Well, I feel like we work five times as hard to get nothing in return. And so, you know, that's a serious conversation that I think that not only we need to have locally, but nationally as well.
I know this will be controversial, but if you had worked five times as hard with a snow shovel clearing the side streets, maybe you'd have something to show for it, like getting reelected. Instead, you got beat by almost 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure that your race and your gender had anything to do with it. So she's mad because Black women don't get to lead the way they want to, But it, clearly the way she was leading didn't work for the voters. I don't know.
It bothers me when parents instill things in their kids like she's saying her dad did. If you're this victim, people should feel sorry for you. You know, you weren't given, you know, life on a silver platter like a lot of other people were who were maybe white or men or something like that. And so you have to work five times harder and people should feel bad for you.
Well, Vervis is the king of scaring people. He's running campaigns and claiming somebody else didn't like him just because of race or what. That's a standby argument for Vervis Jones, always has been. All right, we're going to get to a quick break here. I ran a little long there in that segment. Sorry about that. We're going to get to Jim Carafano, talk about what's going on overseas and with these tariff deals right after this.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
So if you go step by step, aero and commercial planes, they sell Rolls-Royce engines to Boeing. We've agreed to let Rolls-Royce engines and those kind of plane parts to come over tariff-free. And what you're going to hear today is there's going to be an announcement in the UK that they are buying $10 billion worth of Boeing planes later today. But I'm going to let the name of the airline announces because that's theirs to do it.
Yeah, Howard Lutnick there responding to this UK trade deal. Let's get to Jimmy, please.
You know, I was born in the South. South Bronx.
All right, Jim Carafano on the line from the Heritage Foundation this morning. Jim, how are you?
Yeah, I'm super happy to hear about that trade deal because I just bought the Tower of London.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah. I said that's going to help with my Rolls-Royce purchase, too.
It was either that or the Brooklyn Bridge. They're both up for sale.
How significant is this? I mean, I've heard people kind of claiming that the deal was overblown a little bit in terms of what we gained from it. Do you have any feel? I mean, they're a pretty close trading partner already, weren't they?
Well, I will say this. The first paper that we wrote about a U.S.-U.K. trade deal after the UK left Brexit was, I think, in 2014. So for over 10 years, the US has been unable to secure a trade deal with our closest ally for the last 150 years, and Trump did it in 100 days.
Wow.
So you tell me.
That's a pretty big deal then.
I think so, yeah.
And does it then bode well, you think, Jim? I mean, for these other countries, are they, like, particularly Europe? Because the EU, I was surprised to see what the trading relationship was there. I mean, they clearly weren't, they were only in working in their own best interest, and we let them get away with it.
Well, the most important thing about all this really is signaling on the global stage how much heft does Donald Trump really carry? Because, you know, the Trump hating has never been more off the scale.
Yes.
But it's hard. But it's always hard when you bump up against reality. And so if the president of the United States, despite all these terrible things everybody's saying about him, he is nailing trade deals with important countries, then people have to reevaluate. And so I think in terms of American leadership in the world, Trump has to show he can deliver to really get past the naysayers. And so I do think these deals are important. And we're seeing is don't look at the specifics of the deals. look at the behavior of markets and the behavior of businesses. So when you see this unprecedented foreign direct investment in the United States, when you see these incredible purchases that we're seeing, when you're seeing the markets rebound in an incredible way, and you're seeing countries line up to actually sign deals with the United States, it tells you one thing. The world takes Donald Trump seriously, and that's even the cardinals, like the head of elected American Pope, right? Because they didn't want to annoy Donald Trump.
That's the real reason. What kind of implications do you think this has for other countries like China, like India, where we don't have a trade deal yet, but we're certainly hoping one is in the works?
Well, I think some of those deals will come through. For the Chinese, it's a clear signal that they've got that Houston, we have a problem. They don't have a consulate in Houston anymore. But anyway, you get the metaphor. Because one is the Chinese said, oh, do business with us instead of America. Well, clearly people are saying, no, we're not going to do that. And the other thing is we're being shut out of markets by the United States. So it really puts the Chinese on their back seat. And I think it's really important for other allies when they see other people closing deals. They're like, well, I want my economy to be a recognized premier global economy. So, forget about BRICS, forget about the 17+1 in China. I want to be able to say to the world, I got a trade deal with Donald Trump. So I think we're going to see more momentum from the good guys and a lot more, I don't know how things are going, from the bad guys.
Yeah. Jim Carafano, our guest from Heritage, on this Houthi deal where we've apparently struck some sort of an agreement, a ceasefire with them, I guess. What impact does that have on the fact that they're still in it with Israel? I mean, because we back Israel.
Well, it remains to be seen what that means in practice, because I'm sure everybody saw the news the other day where they fired one missile at the Israeli airport, which hit nothing. And basically the Israelis made, downtown Yemen look like Dresden.
Yes.
I think what we can expect from the Houthis is a lot of bluster, but I don't because the United States has completely unleashed Israel to do whatever it wants to the Yemen government. So they may not publicly say we have a ceasefire with Israel, but my guess is they're going to put their heads in the sand because they got a lot of that.
What's your reaction between this building tension between India and Pakistan?
Look, one is I'm absolutely 1,258% convinced that this would never go nuclear. I don't think it can go very far. Neither side benefits from that. That's one. Two is both sides have actually had some embarrassing moments here with their militaries, with planes shot down and missiles and stuff else. So neither one of them looks terribly good right now. I don't see them really taking this escalation. And I see mostly what they're doing now is it's for domestic. Well, it's, signaling against the other guy, but it's also for domestic consumption. Look, I'm being tough. But when your planes are getting shot down, that's just not a good look.
Yeah, it's true. Does it hinder the whatever trade talks are going on with India?
No, I don't think so. I mean, okay. I think the U.S. has been pretty clear that we support India. Van said India, Pakistan, not our fight. That's true. It's actually not our fight, and the Indians aren't looking for us to back them. Matter of fact, that would make them look weak. The Indians don't like that. When they confront the Chinese or the Pakistanis, they actually don't like people to say, oh, well, we'll come help you. We're India. We'll take care of ourselves.
Right.
What they want is they don't want you to, back away from them, and we're not doing that.
Well, good. Jim, have a great weekend, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Jim Carafano there from the Heritage Foundation, and I hope you were listening because he said something I hadn't heard before. And the mainstream media certainly didn't report it yesterday. Since Brexit, the United States has been working on a trade deal with the United Kingdom. That was 2014. So that was during the Obama administration. Then through the first Trump administration, and then through the Biden administration. And it took until Donald Trump's first 100 days to get a deal done. And we got it done. So that's a big deal that I had not heard reported in the mainstream media. Coming up, we're going to talk more about more activist judges trying to stop the Trump agenda. We'll be back. It must be getting early.
You know, I always got along very well with President Xi. That relationship was greatly disturbed by COVID when COVID came in. But we get along very well now. I mean, the relationship was hurt with a lot of people, a lot of countries when COVID came in. But I think we're going to have a very good relationship. I expect to have a very good relationship with China, Scott. I think it's a very friendly meeting. They look forward to doing it in an elegant way.
Capital Beat.
Yeah, covering things going on up in D.C. Of course, that was the president talking about tariffs in China. But once again yesterday, a federal judge stepped in and blocked his efforts to restrict some grant monies that were going to local cities. They sued, and the judge apparently agreed with them. We've got Tanya J. Powers on the phone from Fox News Radio. Good morning, Tanya. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, this is just the latest example of this that I assume, if it's not been appealed already, it will be today.
I would assume. I mean, this is the judge's 14-day block. It's a temporary block on the Trump administration from putting these new conditions on this money. This is we're talking about millions of dollars worth of grants for mass transit for the Seattle area, also homelessness services grants that were set aside for Boston, New York, San Francisco, some other local governments in there as well. Like I said, it was intended to address these specific issues. Now, the lawsuit was brought by last week by 8 cities and counties, and basically they're saying there's these new conditions put on this money those conditions are designed to kind of further the president's efforts to eliminate diversity, equity, and inclusion, also to pressure local officials into helping with their mass deportations, and also cutting off information about lawful abortions. So these are some of the conditions that they're saying that were put on this money. The judge in Seattle, said that local governments had basically shown that they were pretty likely to win the case because the conditions that are now imposed on these grants from the Trump administration have not been approved by Congress. The conditions hadn't. So that's why the judge, said, okay, well, the local government's probably going to win this one anyway, but nevertheless put a 14-day, halt on this.
Wow. So it dealt specifically with mass transit in some cases. I know the president had been particularly critical of, let's say, for example, that high-speed train that's supposed to go between San Francisco and L.A. So this didn't have anything to do with that transit job, right?
Well, this was apparently the funding that helps pay for the maintenance for the region there that includes Seattle, King County,
okay,
in Washington. That their region's light rail system. Apparently, this was for maintenance for it, not for like a new thing. This was something that was already underway that they were just maintaining.
And on the homelessness issue, I mean, what services specifically was that supposed to be addressing or providing?
They were. I'm not sure exactly what services. I know it was, like I said, homelessness services, but mm-hmm. We're talking about as far as like which areas, the ones that sued over that particular part, Boston, New York. There's a couple of counties in Washington State, the city and the county of San Francisco, as well as Santa Clara County in California. They were all the ones that joined the lawsuit for that particular part.
Yeah. And, this is joining some of the other situations that have gone all the way to the Supreme Court. I mean, didn't I hear this morning that the United States Supreme Court has something like 8 emergency order requests that they have backed up right now that concern some of these Trump administration efforts? And that's the White House appealing these directly to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many there are. There have been so many cases that have been brought to different courts and, different actions have been taken on this, on so many of the things just in the last, 3 months since he took office. They make a blanket decision, proposal, cut, whatever you call it. And more often than not, those are going to get, brought to court. And that's kind of where a lot of the stuff is at this point. Yeah.
I know any administration, whether it's a Democratic or a conservative, Republican leader in the White House, you're going to have pushback, you're going to have challenges, legal challenges to whatever you're trying to implement. Is there any tracking of though how many Trump has had? Because it seems like it's some astronomical amount compared to a typical administration.
I'm sure somebody is tracking this. I mean, there have been journalists tracking every piece of what's been going on. I personally don't know how many there have been, and I don't know how that stacks up, to other administrations. I mean, yeah, it's got to be a big number.
Yeah, I would think. Tanya, we appreciate your time on this. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks.
You bet. Tanya J. Powers there from Fox News Radio covering that story this morning. You know, Kara Spencer last week or the week before after she got inaugurated announced that they would basically they've already spent a lot of money researching an expansion of the Metrolink line from north to south. And there's no guarantee they're going to get the federal funding to build it. So she basically paused any more local money being spent, or at least she asked Gateway to pause any more local money being spent on researching it until they had a better indication they were going to be able to secure federal funding, because they can't do it without federal funding.
Well, so see, I would support that, and here's why. I mean, probably not for the reason that she would, but my reasoning would be, why are we looking at spending more money to extend it when people aren't riding it like they should be because they don't feel safe? Now, I know they've made improvements to it. I know they have, what was it, more cameras, more security officers who were stationed at some of these stops, maybe even riding the Metro. I get it. There have been efforts made to make people feel safer. But ultimately, the perception, whether it's true or not, is that the Metro is not safe to ride on. I just talked to my friends at Bible Study the other night about this. It's not something that the average person, unless you live in the city and you decide to take it as part of your commute, it's not something you're going to use unless you're maybe going to like Mardi Gras or something where tons of people are going to be there and you feel a little bit safer.
Yeah.
You need to address the main issue. We're putting a Band-Aid on all these issues. Like, you got to address the core issue of people don't feel safe before you spend another penny on trying to extend it.
But they don't care. That's been the stick in my craw since I first started covering this all these years ago. Years ago, my friend Craig Cheatham did a great piece on this over Channel 4, where he went out on this express bus that runs from the Chesterfield Valley to downtown and back. It doesn't make any stops in between, straight from downtown to the Chesterfield Valley. He was the only person on the bus going and coming, and he had a photographer behind him recording the whole thing. Like, he was mic'd up, but he was on the bus. Nobody else got on the bus. Mm-hmm. So the point being is that the people behind mass transit, and you know, you go to these big cities like Chicago and New York, and they've got crime problems, but their transit they're dependent upon their transit because so many people don't have cars, probably because they can't afford to park them. Because the parking fees are so ridiculous in some of these big cities.
And traffic is so bad that you don't want to get stuck in Chicago traffic. Yeah.
There are people that want St. Louis to be like those towns and have a more vibrant transit system. You're absolutely right about the reason people don't use it. But the people pushing it, the social architects pushing it, don't care.
But
the systems were never designed to support their own weight. In other words, no, they couldn't raise the ticket cost enough for a Metro bus pass or the Metrolink for it to ever support itself. It always operates at a loss. Always.
Why are we trying so hard to make this a thing? We're trying to create a solution for a problem that doesn't exist. You just pointed to them. The main reasons why transit are so popular in cities like, you know, New York City or Chicago, because traffic is so bad and it's extremely expensive, therefore, to have a car, to try to park your car, all of the things. Well, that's not really the case here in St. Louis. Sure, we have traffic. It's not the same volume. And it's, yeah, it can be expensive in some parts of the city, but we don't have the same issues. So why are we trying so hard to pour money into a system when we don't really need it in the same way that some of these larger cities require it?
I don't know. I can't answer that. I just know what their motivation is to serve the poor, and they know it'll never support itself. It will always be subsidized, just like that stupid trolley that to nowhere over in the Central West End, right on Del Mar. There, it's the trolley to nowhere. that will never be able to support its own weight, but they don't care.
It was a good idea in theory.
Was like, it ever a good idea, really?
It sounded nice, like this cute little trolley that ran through U City, the Del Mar Loop, but it just did.
Common sense went right out the door. And they got federal funding for it somehow. Imagine that. All right, what's coming up in Chem on a Whim?
I hope by now, with it being Friday, that all of you know, especially the men, that it's Mother's Day on Sunday. In case you didn't know, guys, it's Mother's Day on Sunday. Plan ahead. But it's interesting to think about how the mothers want to spend their day versus how the fathers want to spend their day. Is there a difference? I mean, what does that look like for you? I want to talk about that when we come back.
Living in reality. The Mark Cox Morning Show. Kim on a Whim.
First of all, happy early Mother's Day to all the moms out there. I think about all the people who this might be a hard holiday. I've plenty of friends who have been trying to get pregnant for so long and they've lost one baby or multiple babies. And so it's difficult to see these kinds of posts. This year, obviously, is this the first time, you know, that I don't have my mom who passed away unexpectedly a few months ago. So, you know, I'm kind of preparing myself for this to be somewhat of a difficult weekend. But at the same time, I'm celebrating the fact that I've been blessed with an incredible son. My husband and I are expecting our second baby at the end of August. So there's so much to celebrate. And it's interesting hearing how people want to spend their day, because I think there is a difference with how men want to spend, for example, Father's Day, which, by the way, it's June 15th this year, versus how moms want to
mark that down right now.
All the ladies mark. Make sure you don't forget that day.
Yeah, don't forget that.
Versus Make how me a women, sandwich how or women. Well, please. There you go. So is that what you really want? Men just want to sit at home and have a sandwich and have the wife, you know, make all these delicious meals.
Of course not. No, go camping or just go do something. Go to a ball game. I mean, just to sort of relax, spend time with the family, obviously, is part of the goal for me.
See, that's
different
also
for moms?
Well, that's also what's interesting is how many people want to spend it alone versus how many want to spend it
Who
with their kids.
Who would want to spend it alone if you didn't have to?
It says a recent poll revealed that the majority of women, 60%, want to spend Mother's Day with their children, while 32% prefer to spend the day at home, 31% would like time with their mothers or family, and then 20% of women would like some time alone.
Just leave me alone.
No children.
On Mother's Day. Let me go do yoga or whatever it is that, you know, flips your shirt and you just, you know, have a good time.
I would want to spend it with my family, but I did tell my husband here's the thing. The reason why Mother's Day is one of the busiest days for restaurants is because most women are the ones who do the cooking. Now, Ethan, I know you do a lot of the cooking in your household, right?
Yep.
So
all of the cooking.
Wow.
Like,
impressive.
I hope my wife's listening. But I think in many cases, if the women are doing the cooking and the cleaning, they want a break from that. So their day of relaxation means they don't have to do anything. And so it's just easier to go out. And in some cases, that might mean not having the kids there. I kind of want a combination. I would love some alone time. My biggest thing is I don't want to cook. I don't want to clean. And maybe I don't want to change any diapers. Dirty diapers.
I don't need the
bad diapers.
Yeah, I don't need alone time. My wife wants to mow the grass that day. That'd be fine with me.
That's what you want for
Father's
Day?
That would be something
day?
That's only ever happened once in our 32 years of marriage. But, you know, miracles happen. Could happen.
I hope she's listening right now.
I don't think she is, because I'm getting myself in trouble. You know what my dad's approach to this always was is on Mother's Day would come around, and I'd say, Dad, what do you get Mom? She's not my mom, is what Dad's answer would be. She's your mom.
You still have to get her something.
She's your mom. Well, no, I don't think he did.
I think a lot of husbands do, though.
If you want to go to dinner
wife.
Or something that day, I mean, I'll accommodate whatever plans you'd like to do that day. But is the husband, do you get the mom something on Mother's Day?
That's a good question, then. How many people do that?
Yeah.
I got to get something
Once
for.
The kids are old enough to take care of that themselves, you know, and I'm kind of in that mode now. The three of them are old enough to know Mother's Day's coming up, and they better accommodate that. And I got my own mom to worry about. So
I don't need a gift. I've said this for a long time. I'm not big on gifts.
Right.
And I would rather you just spend time with me, or I'd rather you do something to serve, like cooking or cleaning or something like that. There was some YouGov poll that said that the most common way American dads want to spend Father's Day, 58% want to spend it with their children, 42% want to enjoy a meal at home. Only 30% want to actually go out to eat or drink. So maybe more men want to stay home, and the women are more inclined to say, I'd like to go out. Because, I mean, think about how big brunch is.
Yeah.
We ladies love to brunch. I don't know what it is, but we do love a good brunch.
I had never given it a whole lot of thought. I guess I don't, as long as it's something enjoyable, I guess I'm not really, I just don't really care. I don't, I mean,
you're
if,
not
we,
picky?
If we're camping that weekend, if it happens to be a good weekend for that in June, it often is. Not always so much so in May, although this weekend would have been beautiful, right? Still too cold to get in the lake, but yeah.
How many people forget these holidays?
And I then don't have think the, you the can. Guilt.
No, I mean, it.
Hallmark
you,
won't
you really
let you.
Can, though. There are people who truly live under a rock.
Hallmark won't let you. You should honor your mother every day of the year, Sam.
Those Hallmark cards, by the way, are $6, $7.
Oh, crazy.
Have you seen how expensive they are?
They got cheaper ones. Like, there's a rack where they're all like a dollar.
Oh, and I go for that one.
My wife says, if you're going to go get me a card, get one off the dollar rack. Don't waste $7 on it. I'm going to read it and toss it in the garbage.
Well, I do save some cards. There are quite a few cards I've saved, but... The vast
but why? What are you going to do with them? Are you going to get them out
them
and look
again.
At them
yes,
someday?
Yes, I have them in my
really?
Night. Yes, I have some in my nightstand that I will go pull out and read, like notes from my husband. I actually have one. I have some from my parents and my mother-in-law. And it's funny because when we were going through my mom's stuff, we found stuff that she had kept from us,
aww.
Letters, cards we'd written her. And our son was in the NICU for a few days after he was born. And it was so funny because she'd come to visit him in the NICU and she... They take your picture and it timestamps it. And she had saved her. We're a very nostalgic family. Let me just say that. Okay. My husband makes fun of us for it. We're very nostalgic. She had saved the little picture that the sticker that she had taken and she put it on a paper towel and cut that out and had it in her dresser. So I now have that.
Wow.
So women do save that type of stuff.
They do. And my wife accuses me of hoarding when I save something.
You guys don't have a heart. You just don't want to save
maybe
anything.
Maybe it's just the nature of the things that we save.
Like what?
Don't
like
you
a
think?
Like a dinosaur tooth or what?
No,
what is
like that,
worthy
wow.
of being a
wow.
baseball? Like what do you want to save?
I have a Pete Rose signed baseball.
Exactly.
I have a dinosaur. Well, I don't have the dinosaur tooth. My grandson has the dinosaur tooth.
That you got from
these
Facebook.
Things are
that's
important.
Not legitimate.
It is legit. Thank you very little. All right, coming up, we're going to talk more about the Catholics celebrating up in Chicago because one of their own just became Pope. Stay tuned.